Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. You are listening to Global Gospel. I am your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend, and you are listening to I'll Never Turn Back. That was Pastor Timothy Wright and Bishop Eric Figueroa. I'll Never Turn Back. And certainly, we don't want to turn back because God has been too good to us. He's been too kind. It is because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. And that's why on this Saturday afternoon, we give him glory, honor, and praise. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And certainly we are trying to make it into God's holy and righteous kingdom, and we certainly don't want to look back. It is the 1 o'clock hour. We are here every Saturday from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. at www.blogtalkradio.com/global-gospel. So you can tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbor to log on every Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. We are live. If you perhaps miss us while we're live, all our shows are archived. You can listen in at any time to Global Gospel. You can also write us at P.O. Box 5331. That is in Hempstead, New York, and our zip is 11550. If you need to email us, you can email us at globalgospel17@gmail.com. It's great. It's good to be here again on another Saturday, spreading the gospel. We thank God for all our listeners in the north, the south, the east, and west. We have our listeners in the United States, our listeners in Canada, our listeners in Norway, our listeners in Germany. And we encourage you to listen in. You can like us. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram at Global Gospel. So you can like us and link up with us on any of those sites and just give us a shout out and let us know that you're listening. If you so desire to call into the show later on, we'll open up the lines for you. You can call at area code 619-924-0800. And the past few weeks, we've been talking about Christian educators. And this week, as in New York, this is probably about the final weekend that the young people have out of school before school starts. And we're going to once again be talking to another educator because we aim to get the message out to other people. And it's not only about what we do in the church, it's what we do outside of the church. For the Bible says in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So whatever we do, we are doing it as unto the Lord. And we, because God has been so good to us, he's been so kind, he's been faithful, he's been merciful, and it's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. Our theme here at Global Gospel comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel is for everybody. The gospel, it is good news. It is the power of God unto salvation. And we want other people to know, and we're letting other people share their testimony, that God heals, he delivers, he saves, and he sets free. And we are here to encourage one another. We are here to lift each other up. We are here because so much is going on in the world. People are losing their life. People are taking their lives and taking their life to their own hand. And people don't even value human life. But God gave us life, and he breathed the breath of life into us. And so we're grateful for life. And Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we praise God for abundant life in Christ Jesus. And once again, I also want to thank our other educators that shared with us on the past 2 weeks, Evangelist Diane Mack from Bridgeton, New Jersey, and also from the Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Bridgeton, New Jersey, and also on last week, First Lady Katiana Floyd shared with us from the House of Blessings Christian Fellowship in Baldwin, New York. So we thank everyone for making the connection and just reaching out to others. We are going to take a break, and we just want you to know that Byron Cage says God has been good.
Yeah, people.
And God has been so good to us, And we just want you to listen in. Byron Cage, he has been good anyhow. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Is there anybody here that knows that the Lord is absolutely, positively good? Psalm 106 says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. The 107th Psalm says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The psalmist David says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be made glad. Then if I can fast forward, the psalmist comes back again and he says, if you are not clear, I want to extend the invitation to you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is so good that the Apostle Paul says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. He is so good that even your bad is not out of his reach. He will even take what the devil meant for bad, flip it and reverse it and make it work out for your good. Even when you're going through, he's still good. Even with trials, he's still good. Even with tribulation, he's still good. Even with haters, he's still good. Even with heartache and heartbreak, he's still good. Because God can take it and mold it and make it and shape it and make it work together for your good. He's nothing but good. The only thing on his bio is good. The only thing on his resume is good. The only thing on his track record is good. And I need somebody who knows that he's good to open up your mouth and act like you know he is.
Oh, yes, God. My friend Rudolph Stanzer wrote this song. Listen.
I was thinking about my problems and wondering who to blame, and I begin to add it all up, and I found no room to complain, but I have to say, I'm
Pastor Charles Jenkins and Byron Cage. Lord, you are still good anyhow, in spite of whatever we're going through. God is good and God is faithful. Today, this afternoon, we have our special guest here in studio in the person of Reverend Janie Mays. Reverend Mays, how are you?
Reverend Townsend, I'm just great. How about you?
I'm good. Are you excited?
I'm excited. I've been excited so long because when I look back over my life and I see where God brought us from, not just me, but the family, all the things that the family went through, all the things that were meant for our demise, that God has taken them, and instead of making us bitter, he made us better.
Thank God for that. So I know you have an extensive resume, but what I can let the listeners know, and then I think the best way, as Bishop Watson says, is that you can introduce yourself. But she is, as we're talking to educators, Reverend Janie Mays is a retired educator, retired principal, retired administrator, and she has several nicknames. She's the Shepherd Mother. She's the State Mother. She just wears many hats. So Reverend Mays, just tell our listeners that don't know you who you are, or who you would like, what you would like for them to know about you.
Okay, I am, as Reverend Townsend said, I am a retired school educator, and but before I was a school educator, I was in ministry, and I am, first of all, one of the things I'm proudest of, I'm the mother of four biological sons, and I have many, many, many godsons, extended family and people that had God daughters, sons, and our people. And I'm just excited about the role where we are in the body of Christ. And I was born in a family of Christians. My mother, mom and dad were saved when I was born, and they carried us everywhere. And I guess if I saw people that not doing it, not going to church on Sunday, I thought they were abnormal, because we went to church on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We were like 7 day a week Christian. And when we went to church on Sunday, mother packed food and we stayed all day. So I'm a lifetime a person. I'm born in a church family, born in church. I remember waking up as a little girl. My mother had four little girls, close in age. We were like 2 years apart. Four little girls, and we'd have everything on. She dressed us. We have everything on but our dresses. And we had no choice. And then as we got older, and I'm sure all of us say that when we got older, we would never go to church again. But church was our life. And as you know, it's life on earth. So my mother was just the average mother at sister at the time. But as she got older, she became Mother Watson. And then my dad was Deacon Watson. He had been saved. He had been a deacon all my life, church person all my life. So it was just like I was born in the church, and I adopted it. At 18 years old, I made my own personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And then, you know, as life went on, sometimes life happens with you. And I left the South. I went up. There was something, I guess, other people, somebody, if you're my age, you know what I mean. I left the South on, like, sleep-in jobs, live-in jobs, and go to live in people's houses in the North. And so it's kind of like where I got my start.
Okay. That sounds like you've led an interesting life, a busy life.
Very busy, and even busier now, you know, 2011. And I told myself, I say, now when I like to sew, and Reverend Townsend, we're media people. We like all kinds of media. We like computers. We like cameras. We like everything. So photography is my pet peeve, and I like to do that. And I like to sew, though, but I like to sew, and it's one of the things I do. And I told myself that in 2011, I said, when we get snowed in, I can catch up with my sewing. Well, it's been 2011. It's 2018 now. I haven't been snowed in yet and haven't caught up with my sewing yet. So, and I mean this, and I've been super busy. I mean, people meet me all the time and say, well, where are you going next? Well, tomorrow morning, I'll be on a plane. I'm going to Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then I'm excited because on August 4th, my oldest grandson got married, and on yesterday my youngest son got married. So I'm just excited, and it's just busy. My life is busy. Then on the second weekend in August, we went down to Virginia, where our pastor, Bishop Watson, became elevated to the office of bishop in the movement that we grew up in, the Apostolic Faith Church of God Live On. So it's just always something going on, but busy is good.
Yes, right. That's good. It keeps us all out of out of trouble, no matter how young or how old you are. So with all the things, your accomplishments, the people you've met, and the places you've gone, who would you say has been your biggest or greatest influence in this life?
Okay, now, I have to tell you that my greatest influence in my life is my mother. And then I thought about it seriously. I said, my mother, then I said, I have to say my father, because my father was a quiet influence, but he was a different kind of influence. Because, you know what? See, we grew up in the days, and a lot of people don't want to hear it now. We grew up in the days where they said it was holiness or hell. So which meant, and I know it sounds rough, but it really, when you think about it, it wasn't that bad. It was standard. They taught you standards. And the standards today are missing. People would do anything. They'll do anything. They'll say anything. And they'll promise to do stuff. Their word does not mean anything. But when you met people in the old days, my parents, my mother was a very dedicated Christian. As a matter of fact, she was led into holiness. She was Baptist when she came, when she married my father. But she was led into holiness by my father. And those people were two of the most dedicated persons that you could ever meet in their life, in your life. And my mother was so concerned about education. In other words, learning was what you needed to do. And I didn't always understand what she meant with that education.
Right.
But as I got older, I understood what she meant. Now, my mother, in her day now, my mother was born in 1908, and in our convention, she desired to, when they had breaks, she would gather up the children. She went out and brought teaching material. And I asked myself now, she gained enough of credit in her life to have a high school diploma, but she never got a diploma in her hand. But she was not formally educated like we are. But how did she know then? That the children, she said, that was too much free time. Children don't need to be running all around. And, you know, and as we know, and as you know, that your mother didn't allow you to run all over the place. She didn't allow you to go to everybody's house and all
these
good things, because it was just too much. And we didn't like it when we were young. But as we got older, you understand, it's too many different influences. And there's too much stuff out there. Now when you're talking about the Me Too movement and all these kind of movement stuff, you understand that your parents shielded you from so much stuff, so many things that could have been bad influences, and they really kept you safe. They literally, your mothers and fathers, the way they lived and the stuff they did, and I don't care what anybody say, holiness is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. You adopt it, and you walk therein. And if some, you're going to have trouble anyway. I don't care how good you live. But some of the things you're
doing. Right.
So, you know, and it's like when you're 76 years old, I've seen so many things. I've seen the lightning flash. I've seen the thunder roll. I heard some breaking down. But
watch
I'll
your voice.
What, bottom line is that when you walk according to the will of God and keep yourself above reproach, and you know what? And the folks sit around and say, oh, well, he thinks he's holier than thou. No. What does the word say? The Bible says, if a righteous scarcely make it. Where would the sinners say, I'm God? So no matter all we do, we're just going to scarcely make it in. So that's where we are. So my parents were godly Christians my dad would wake us up Sunday morning to pray. And we didn't get up to pray. He would start on us, you know. God ain't poor for you. He would go on and tell us all this stuff. And then he would pray on Sunday morning. He would pray. And do we know? We don't know now, but we probably did. The life that we're living today is because of our parents' prayers. Somebody's prayers have us here today and in good health, you know?
Right.
Able to talk about the goodness of the Lord, even though sometimes we've had some health crisis, we have on medication and stuff like that. But we have to tell God, I thank you because it is well with me as it is.
Right. And that's certainly a blessing that you had that foundation in your home with your parents teaching you the ways of God and teaching you education. And I had pretty much the same experience. We weren't allowed to, you know, say things like we're bored, and my mother said, well, did you read through the Bible yet? And of course, none of us had read through to the Bible at that time. And so we, you know, and then in summertime, and I don't know how many neighborhoods still offered it, but in the summertime growing up in Hempstead, myself and all my cousins, we all had to go sign up for the summer reading program. And we had to read books in the summer when school was out. We had to give book reports and things like that. And other people in the community did that too. And there wasn't a lot of time to, you know, we didn't have time to get bored because we were in something, sports or extracurricular activities or reading or, as you said, church, it can keep you busy when nothing else keeps you busy.
Right.
So,
you had nothing called idle time. You didn't have any idle time. And in my generation, they used to start with vacation Bible school. And when we said one church had vacation Bible school, the Baptist church had vacation Bible school, the Methodist church had vacation Bible school. By the time you went to everybody's Bible school, and then the local parks had some kind of program, and by the time you stayed busy moving from program to program, from park to park, you were busy the whole summer. You didn't have time to think about getting in trouble or being bored. And then, and you know, you don't understand it then, but now when we look back over there, all the reading you did, all the sharing you did, all the handicrafts, everything that you did made you who you are today. And all the time, all the discipline, when you had to come someplace and sit down. A teacher never told me in school, Watson, be quiet. She didn't have to tell me. That was her platform. And when she crossed the door, she said, I shut up. Nobody said ever told me to be quiet. You know, you just know better, you know. So you did all of the things, that all the reading programs, all the Bible school, all the stuff, all of those are discipline. All of those things are just discipline in life that prepare you for life, you know.
That's correct. So now, with all this education at home, how did you become a teacher? What made you want to become a teacher? Was that something that you, as a child, you wanted to do? Or as life went on, did you find yourself in that career?
All my life, I wanted to be a teacher. But as I grew up in the segregated South, okay? And then I grew up in a house where there were six brothers and sisters. And so at the end of school, I felt, you know, I've always had a mature thinking pattern. I felt that my mother still had four people to educate. I thought it was just too much. So I just did my own thing. I just left home and I told you I went away on sleeping job and just worked. But as life would have it, I always wanted to be a teacher. Came to break little people would drop little hints to you. But in 1974 was when I got my big break. I had been married. I got married in 64. And then by 1974, I was introduced to, my sister said to me, there's a free college. It was your late aunt Annie Watson Townsend. She said to me, there's a free college in, it was a feeder program. It was by the Education Opportunity Center out of Farmingdale, New York. And they had something called, they was a feeder program, and they would get you into colleges. So I went to the first part, it was 80 North Franklin Street, was the Education Opportunity Center from Farmingdale, and their feeder program. And there I met a nun. If you know, people call it faith, I call it blessing, I call it the favor of God. I met a nun named Sister Francis the Minister. And it was automatic a connection there. And once other people find out that you have a religious background, you're like a magnet. They sort of draw to you because it was just like magnet. She took me to Malloy College, and she was my teacher at night at the down at the Opportunity Center. So I went to Devil's College Prep. So when I got, so she took me there, and she introduced me to her supervisor of this from HEOP program. And she said, and so once they got me there, and I was so embarrassed because, you know, to be, I guess I was 32 years old, and I guess I didn't realize how poor I was and stuff like that. But anyway, I was embarrassed. She said, I hear you have no money. And I kind of quenched a little bit. I didn't want nobody to know I have no money. And so she said, but that's good. And I didn't know what that meant either. But anyway, but I tell you what. People have played with denomination and stuff, but as a people, Christians need to stop fighting each other because there's something good that all of us can learn from each other. And those Catholics treated me so well. I mean, like, it was like they gave me a blank credit card. And in that program, the program had everything, everything. When I tell you everything, they didn't take advantage, it was their loss because I took advantage of every opportunity. As a matter of fact, at the end of the year, it was so heavily funded at that time, at the end of the year, you got money back. I was able to go to Bahamas.
That's a blessing.
I never got money back. I did. I got money back. But I also graduated from Malloy College in 4 years. In June 1978, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in sociology and a certification to teach grades and to six. And the certification that I had, once you get permanent certificate, is good to now. And because I had that certification, in 2016, I was able to help set up the High Hello Daycare Center in Freeport. But I taught for 15 years as a social studies teacher. And the reason I had I was able to teach social studies was because I had the background in sociology. I had New York 7 through 9, so I was able to teach social studies. And I didn't go to school to be a junior high school or high school teacher. I went to school to be an elementary teacher. But because I had that certification, and middle school turned out to be great for me because I am a very strong disciplinarian. And discipline, what people think about discipline, they think about discipline as fighting and mean and stuff like that. Strict and mean are two different things. Strict and angry are two different things. It's one thing you don't need. No child needs an angry teacher in front of them. No child, nobody needs anybody in front of them spewing out ungodly stuff. But I was a strict disciplinarian, and I cannot tell you. I was at my son's wedding reception last night. Two girls hugged me, and of course, and when they called me Miss West, I know that they're from the school. It has been such a blessing. But I also want to say that when you go into an area, I taught in Roosevelt. There are many needs there. There's more than academic needs. They need everything. I mean, as a matter of fact, in one of my last assignments, the principal actually went out and bought beds. So when I got into the school and teaching, I had to do more than teach academics. Some days I had to stop the middle of the class and I had to comfort, I had to nurture. And I found some of the greatest relationships I have, even when I looked around last night, greatest relationships I had was with people that when they came to me for academics, I also had to meet other needs. And as a result of that, I am known as the beloved. You call me the things in the church, but I'm known as the beloved mother and an auntie and everybody. And when people call you names and they're welcome to your Aunt Janie and stuff like this, and people actually got angry with us because they said, we don't know who really kin to you are, but does it really matter? If you need a dress or you need a food, does it matter whether I'm your biological aunt or not? If I provide it, it doesn't matter. And so I really became a teacher because I just love education. I'm like, even now, I just won't go back to school. I mean, and if I do, I'll go back to get a doctorate in, like, religion or something. But I just love school. I would just go and sit in school because I just love school and I love teaching. And then I love to share. And as I said, I've run into all kinds of situations where I had to really just be more than the academics. I had to reach out. I had to use my checkbook. I used my credit card and stuff like that. And you had to meet needs. There's a group of us, and I wrote to that one time. We had one little girl who went away to school. Her mother died when she was in seventh grade. She would call and tell the guidance counselor what she needed. We would rally around and get her what she needed. Other situations, even if we used stuff in school. So it was.
Right.
It was because I love people.
Right. And God blesses us to be a blessing to others. I want to take a break, and then we'll be right back and kind of wrap things up. We know you have an extensive schedule. Once again, you're listening to Global Gospel. I'm your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend. In our studio today, we have Reverend Janie Mays, and she is another one of our featured educators. Our number here in studio, 619-924-0800. We're going to break. This is the O'Neill Twins. He chose me. How many of you know that God chose you for a purpose and a reason? Stay tuned.
He chose me. He can use me. He can use me. Yeah, he used me.
Christian background, your educational background, and you know, you are a gospel preacher. Now the two, how have they worked together in your advantage at going into the education system as a believer and as a preacher? And we know that, of course, we don't impose our religion on anybody or our belief system, but I mean, you've gone beyond the call of duty as an educator, as you said, to, you know, provide, you know, people, sometimes people need food and shelter and those things. How have all those things worked together in your life?
They separated
you from the other person that may not be a believer.
Okay. What happens is that because you have faith and you have the faith and you know that whatever these people are going through, you know, you see the big picture. There are other folks they're nice, but they may not be as generous as you are. They may not understand that when the Bible says he gives to the poor, lends to the Lord. So therefore, no matter what I give, I can't give enough, and I can't lose by giving. And so, but it's also you're like, it's a compassion. When, and see, other people might hear it and just hear it, but when the saints hear it, we hear something else. But the next thing you want to do is to see. You ask yourself, this is where we are. I'm an educator and I'm a preacher. The bottom line is, people are magnets to you too. Once they find out that you minister or whatever it is, I had a man come to me one time. As a matter of fact, it's a connection, a family connection, not biological, but there's a connection in our families. And he whispered, he said, "I hear you're a preacher," and some people do. Excited when you're in ministry. And some people, I've had people say, they would send the kid to school, they say, "But Miss West is over there." And so it has been a blessing to be that. And then you also know that not only am I going to educate this child, but I'm going to pray for this family. You're on my prayer list. And listen, I'm telling you something, that because you're a believer and you pray, see, you don't always have even verbalize or vocalize what you're going to say, because
that's true.
It's just another thing. The enemy knows not to cross my doors here. Don't come in here. If you don't want to learn, this is not the place to come. And I've had many ministers who won't be anywhere, but they won't go anywhere else and sit down and be attentive, but they will come in my class. A man made a joke one day. He said, "I heard that a German shepherd could pass your class." I said, "You're exactly right." Because the bottom line, he comes in and learn how to sit down. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to calm the spirit down. And see, the other thing about that is, as a Christian, a believer, we know that yelling and screaming doesn't work. So I practice calm, being a calm person, calm down. The kid heard cursing and swearing and drinking and carrying carousing and staying up all night. Sometimes those kids' parents kept them up all week long, all over the weekend, and then when they get to see you, all they need to see is another angry person on Monday. But you go in there with that calm, quiet spirit because you've been in worship all week. I'm prayed up. I'm ready. Even if you came for me, the enemy came for me, I'm ready to do battle again on Monday. But I tell you
right.
What, the battle got easier. The battle got easier and easier. And folks wonder why that they would walk by some places and they were all off the wall. And you in my classroom, they were sitting down writing. And people didn't. When I first started, I was a substitute teacher in Hempstead. And as we talk about, we talk about the adoption piece, that people call you auntie, people this or so. But they were actually, Betsy's my sister-in-law, they were actually her brothers. They actually came in. And they were sitting down writing, and somebody came with the kids. They tell stories because you just don't know.
Ooh, right.
They called his name. But he's sitting down writing. Say, other times he'd be outside getting high. Well, he knew. They knew that I was in there. And they came in and act like saints. They act like somebody had brainwashed them or something, because they knew better. But the spirit is supposed to control anyway. The spirit is supposed to have. You don't even when you see preachers and they want to beat and bang up. That's not necessary. All you got to do, Bible says, let your light shine. That your light is just supposed to shine, and your light is supposed to be as Christian. Our light should be like neon signs. I mean, I'm not talking about dirty clothes on your head, rags on your head, speaking in tongues and all that stuff. I'm talking about living holy, living right, being not doing unto others that you have them to do unto you, and being concerned. If Johnny comes to school and he's crying, stop that crying, boy. Come over here. I want to know why you're crying. Let me fix your problem first. And if I fix your problem, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And it's like, say, all these things shall be added unto you. So if I fix his personal problem, he can learn. But if he's hungry, he can't learn. If he comes there and he hasn't had any food in the morning, forget about trying to teach him. But that's what Christianity does. That's what your Christian faith, that's what your a pastoral minister teaches you, that you go in with the godliness and not you. And none of this is about you. You say in this church we say to God be the glory. When it works, when one person is if we turn one person around, if one person follows us to Christ or follows to the cross, it's worth it all. Whatever we do, it's really been a tremendous blessing. And I see people today, honestly, and then some of the people, the children that you knew, families and parents weren't saved. You see people, they saved today, and they meet you in church and in worship. One of the best things you could ever see happen to you. And a lot of young people have embraced faith, so it's just nice. And then it's also, Reverend, you know this, like you work around people, and some of them do not know that you're a minister. But what a blessing it is when they learn. They say, I knew that there was something different about you. They didn't
That's
know
true.
What it was. That you are a different person. A believer is supposed to be different anyway. Go, you're supposed to change the atmosphere of that room. You're supposed to be able to walk in the room and don't open your mouth. You don't have to open your mouth, but you're supposed to change the atmosphere. Because
That's
you
true.
Got God in the you.
And that's a blessing. God does place us strategically in places to, as you said, change the atmosphere, whether it be if you be in the park or on the bus or the train or wherever we are to change the atmosphere. And you also mentioned something about you can pray for people and they don't have to know you're praying for them. And it's so important. And you know, and we live in a world where as we could wrap this up, we live in a world that, you know, prayer is absent from our schools and Bible reading, which things that it used to be a part of society, which it is no longer a part of society. And do you think that the public omission of prayer and everything, although we can still pray within ourselves and in our personal time, do you think the public omission of that has changed the atmosphere in our public school system, in your opinion?
Yep. Definitely changed it, because now they talk about it, they say you took the prayer out, guns walked in, crime, violence, drugs, everything else has taken over. And we gotta know it. We are content and we're not smug. We are excited because we know that no matter what's going on, that we're covered. See, we go in with a covering. Other folks don't have that same covering. We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But that's why when we go in as Christian educators, we have to cover our classroom, we cover our building. And you know what? There have always been that little nucleus of people, and almost anywhere you go, they'll say, we still have prayer and we still have Bible reading. And my father used to say, the world is still standing on the prayers of the saints. In other words, because we're still praying, there's some things that God is not allowed to happen to us, and God he protects us as we go.
That's a blessing. So once again, we do thank you, Reverend Mays, for sharing your ministry, your testimony, your career with all our listeners here at Global Gospel around the world, and perhaps there's some other students today that have been encouraged by that, some other educators that are out there, some other Christians that are fighting the good fight of faith. Do you have any final words of encouragement to anyone? Anything you would like to say or leave with?
I want to say to some of those persons that left school early and you didn't finish, it's time to go back. If you had dreams, it's time to Wilson Dreams, time to fulfill. If you were supposed to write your book, it's time to get your stuff on paper, and it's time to live your best life. Live on purpose. Have every day get up with a project in mind. Do something, and just remember that God loves you, and no matter what other folks say, you can keep on doing what you're doing. And when I was in, I was in college. I didn't mention this, but I had a domestic job that I stayed on for 22 years. It was very nice, private family, and they used to get little cards in the mail. And on the refrigerator one day, I saw a quote, which has been my life most. An obstacle is what you see when you take your eye off of your goal. You have to keep your eye on your goal. If you keep your eye on your goal, you don't see all the other negative stuff that's going on around you. So it is important that as we go through this life, as we live this life, that we keep God first and keep our eyes on our goal. If it's going back to school, if it's getting a better job, or whatever it is, but seek God first. Get God in life. Develop a relationship. You have your own personal relationship, and never mind what other people are doing. You say, well, he or she is doing it. Don't bother it. If it's sin, don't get involved in it. But you seek God first, and God will give you anything and all the things that are good for you. And what God has for me is for me. You don't ever worry about I got there too late. No, you didn't get there too late. It wasn't for you. When it's your time, God is going to give you just what you need, and he will bless your life. And Reverend Townsend, I do appreciate this time. I appreciate this time to talk. I appreciate you and your family, and I appreciate God just for what he is in my life.
Well, I thank you, and once again, I thank you, and I do appreciate you for sharing with us and giving us those words of encouragement. And as the state mother one of the many titles that you hold, before you go, can you just offer a word of prayer for our listeners?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for Reverend Lamar Townsend, God. We thank you for his family, God. And God, we thank you for the young man, God, who has dedicated his life to you, God. His life is a living Bible, God. He's the walking and talking example. And God, as he walks and talks, as he tries to develop his ministry, God, this online ministry, as he develops, God, we want to give him direction, God. Then I would, God, give him successes, God. Oh, God, move by your spirit. And for the listening audience, that be those young people out there who don't know you in the part of this thing, God. And some that mother out there, she might be distressed, she might be discouraged, God, but just tell her to keep on praying, just because, God, I saw you do it. I've seen you move, and I've seen you bring my boys in, God. I've seen you bring other young men in, bring young women in. And God, I thank you because you're just so good to us, God. And oh, God, you've been so good, and you've given us the things that we need, God. Some things we didn't ask, we didn't know that we needed, God. And God, I want you to move. I want you to bless this program in a special way. And God, everybody who helps him, God, I want you to bless them, God. And God, if he has unspoken requests, I want you to grant them today, God. And God, we thank you because you've been so good to us. Move by your spirit. Send on your healing virtue, God. Send on strength, God. Send on finances. Whatever people need, God, bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. God bless you. We love you, and we'll be talking to you again.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Come on, choir, tell them what it is.
It's your inheritance. Yes, your inheritance.
You are the seed.
You are the seed.
By faith. The blessing.
Whatever you
touch,
whatever you
a practice. Yeah, write a book, score a hymn. Somebody gonna walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it, children.
It's yours, it's yours. It's your inheritance.
Wave your hands if you know you're gonna go get it.
It's yours,
children.
It's yours,
children.
It's your inheritance.
Come on, y'all, talk to them, tell them, baby.
It's yours,
it's yours.
It's yours,
it's yours.
It's your inheritance.
You got an inheritance out there.
Abraham, and certainly we need to get our inheritance, be encouraged on this Saturday afternoon, be uplifted. And as our guest for today, Reverend Janie Mays, told us, if you need to go back to school, go back to school. If there's something that you did not do, that you still have life in your body, you still have health and strength to do it, get up and go do it, because God has more work for you to do. And it's not over until it's over. And then sometimes people will count you out, and it'll look like it's all over for you. And the devil will paint a picture for you that it's all over for you. But we have life and abundant life in Christ Jesus, and we can do all things through Christ, which strengthen us. And the Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men what God has in store for us. So there's things that beyond our dreams and our visions that God has for us. And then the Bible goes on to say that we are seated in heavenly places because of Christ Jesus. And there's so many things in our life that have happened to us, good things. There's so many places that we've gone, good places, that we didn't expect to be, because the Bible says that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. You don't have to invite yourself anywhere, but if it's in God's purpose and plan for your life, you will be there. And as we watched the homegoing service for Miss Aretha Franklin yesterday, there were so many celebrities there, so many musical celebrities, actors and actresses and politicians and preachers, and it was just a great gathering of talent, of anointing, of education. Great minds were there, people across denominational lines, people across political lines, people from different walks of life, from different places in life, people from different cultures. There were people from South Africa were there, and it was a great story to see how we're all connected together, how we have to live this life, and we are dependent upon each other. And the Bible says that the weak are to bear the infirmity of the strong, and it says iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his brother. But I learned so much yesterday from that experience of how talented people are, and the thing that got me is so many people that were there, they weren't there because they asked to be there. They were there, many of them were there because sometimes they may have known who Aretha Franklin was. She may have known who they were. But the wonderful thing about it was how she reached out to so many people, and she connected them. And people, and they were in some unlikely places, but she reached out to them. And all we have to do is get busy doing what God would have us to do, and God will place us and position us to where he wants us to be. And that's how we can walk in divine favor, because we believe that nothing happens by coincidence, but it is God's divine providence. And as we close today, we thank you, all our listeners, for listening in today. We thank our very special guest, the Reverend Janie Mays, a Christian educator, for sharing her story, her life, her testimony. And we pray that somebody was encouraged on this afternoon. Somebody can make it through the day. Somebody can make it through next week with new determination and new strength. And we just want you to listen to the Clark Sisters as we leave, blessed and highly favored. And we need to speak that into our life, that no matter what's going on, we are blessed and highly favored. God bless you. You have been listening to Global Gospel. We're here every Saturday from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/global-gospel. You are blessed and highly favored. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbor. All our shows are archived, so you can go back and listen again from the top of the hour. God bless you. Be safe. Enjoy your weekend. We're blessed in the city and the field, going out and coming in.
Oh, no.